Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Fightful Overbooks Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, November 3rd. We are glad you are here, and we are here to give you WWE Crown Jewel pay-per-view predictions, or PLE predictions if you're a stickler for if you're a stickler for abbreviations. But we are glad you are here, and we want to say thank you first and foremost. But Maggie, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. I, of course, like every Friday, I work the day shift, and you know, we have a concert today, like most Fridays during, you know, autumn and winter and spring, apart from, you know, summer. I was really excited that the band were absolutely an hour and a half late for their sound check, because this gave me, you know, the opportunity to actually watch Grigor Dimitrov's tennis match. And I've mentioned on our show like two or three times that I'm a huge tennis fan. And one day I'm going to open my mouth to Joel and Jeremy about this. And I will have a tennis show on our wrestling, you know.
Maggie, I don't know if you know this, but you're a Fightful legend. And
I know, Jeremy said so.
Yeah, and unlike you, or unlike me, I have to ask for things. You just tell them what you want to do. It's going to happen. I don't know.
I've
if
never
you know
done that.
No. Well, I'm just saying. That's a,
never done that.
Just say, listen, Jeremy, this is what we're going to do. You're going to like it and you're going to love it. Otherwise, just hell with you. That's all you have to do.
Yeah. And I mean, I've been really excited about tennis, and I always am when Grigor is doing really well. And he's had an awesome season this year, and I'm just so incredibly proud. I don't get to say that often, but I'm proud of being Bulgarian when Grigor is having, you know, awesome seasons in, you know, on court. But it's just like he's been incredibly fluid this year. Like he's been, you know, steady on a, you know, really awesome level. Previously, he's just done incredibly well on certain, you know, on hard, hard surfaces, he's really well. But like this season has been incredibly good all around, and I always enjoy that. Also, I used to play tennis a lot when I was little. But then I got introduced to liquor, and I but like I've been, you know, alcohol free since, you know, for a year and a half now, so I'm really proud of myself.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So by the way, this is a wrestling show. Hi, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today. Please, you know, leave a like on the video, share it on X or whatever, or Facebook. We're also live on Twitch, right? We're
streaming. Yeah, we are live in the air everywhere.
Everywhere. So send us your super chats at, you know, at the bottom of the live chat. Send us your money because we're poor. You can also send us humperchat at humperchats.com. If you want, you know, any comments read on the air, this is the most direct way to support us and this podcast. We're nearly going on 2 years of coexisting with Rob and Maggie. Yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah, they said it couldn't be done.
Yeah, who is they? That's a different question.
Just many people, I'm sure.
You know, F day. Also subscribe to Fightful Select. There are a lot of contract news coming up. Also, Sean almost every week has the CM Punk update. I don't know why. And, you know, and other updates even
on X, like on, even if like, no matter what, if there's an update, Sean will have it and people will get mad.
People will get mad because people are people.
Yeah.
And everything. That's... But yes, we can go into our predictions right now.
But yeah, you know, the thing is what Sean's doing is he's just
sacrifice.
God, I hate you so much.
I know you do. But Maggie, you didn't tell everybody what that is in front of you.
Oh yeah, that is that is my new baby. I got an early Christmas present for from our friend Alex. He like, if you're, you know, doing this you know, as a hobby or you're professional, you know that Blue Yeti is the mother and father of all microphones. I absolutely adore this. This is so great. I hope I sound better because my old microphone wasn't it. I mean, it's a really good microphone, but it just didn't, you know, it wasn't right for podcasting. But this is, and I absolutely love it. And thank you, Alex, so much. I appreciate it immensely. And I hope that I got all, you know, the stuff right while I was setting it up. Also, I talked to Alexis Cardoza, our other Alex. he said that I got it right, because I sent him pictures of it. But I hope I sound good. Please, guys, in the chat, tell me if I sound better or not, because if I don't sound better, I'm gonna have a nervous breakdown.
Well, you know, the thing is there's one way to tell.
Yeah, David Busters, damn it.
And the only reason I hit that is
because of Ryan, right? Yeah, Jesus.
If you pay, I'll hit it all the time. But well, that sounded wow. If you pay out, never mind. You know what? There we go. Yeah. Okay.
Leave it at that. By the way, I will be absolutely mad if at some point we don't have a Nivea sponsorship, because every time we do the show, I have this in my hand because it's like my... It's something I play with my hands on the stream, because the other thing, I think we're going to get canceled. Because I do, if I do it, so let's just talk about wrestling.
Yeah, we better. All right, we are going to start with WWE Crown Jewel predictions. It is taking place tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, at the Muhammad Abdu Arena, taking place on Peacock. So you can
the cock.
Yep, on the cock. At 1 o'clock Eastern, November 4th. So
and 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. There we go. Well, they have a kickoff match, and they actually announced it as a kickoff match. It's Mr. Sami Zayn versus JD McDonough. Google me, McDonough. Maggie, who you got and why you got him?
Hopefully it's Sami Zayn. Because, like, I know that JD McDonagh, or Jordan Devlin, previously known as, he's an amazing wrestler. Okay, there's no denying that. We all know, we've all seen it. He's had, you know, my personal match of the year for 2019 between Jordan Devlin and Tyler Bate. I will never shut up about this match, it's just so fluent. Against Sami Zayn, I don't know, have they? Faced each other? I don't think so, right? Because JD McDonagh hasn't had, you know, that many singles matches on the main roster ever since he joined the main roster.
You know,
you're gonna look it up on Cage Match, right?
I think I think they have, but
singles matches.
Yeah, they let's see here. So yeah, he did Raw September 4th.
It's like a month ago. Why don't I remember this? This is awful. My memory sucks. Okay. Memory sucks pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, they've wrestled at least twice that I see here.
This is weird. Okay. Who's won all matches?
Sammy's won. No, Sammy's lost both of them. Nope. They're 1-1.
Okay. So this is like the rubber match.
Yep, the rubber match.
Okay. Okay. I have Sami Zayn here.
Yeah.
This is only the second time he's been in Saudi Arabia, right?
Yes, this is only his second time.
Is the second time he's been there. The people of Saudi Arabia adore Sami. They even when he wasn't going to Saudi Arabia, people were chanting for him a lot. Yep. So having in mind it's the kickoff show, probably they're gonna start the show with a, you know, with a good feel moment. So probably Sami Zayn. But I suppose there will be some shenanigans.
Yeah. There's always shenanigans involved.
There's always shenanigans on this podcast too. So that is not something new to all of you guys. Who do you got?
I got Sami Zayn. They're gonna give that crowd something good. They like that cheer, that pop that Sami Zayn got last time with him and KO there. They're going to give Sami another great pop tomorrow. I'm expecting a really good crowd. Sami's going to get that win. JD doesn't need the win. He'll be fine. Give Sami that victory.
Absolutely.
Let him deliver a haluva kick to JD and the 1-2-3.
Big ass head.
Yeah. He can't miss it anyway, so. Let's go. Let's play.
Going into the main card, which match are you most looking forward to?
Ooh, good question. The match that I'm looking forward to the most, I think right now, and this is just because of always the... You know what? I'll say it. John Cena and Solo Sikoa. I'm very anxious for this match. And the reason why is I was just on the prediction show with Stephanie Chase, and I'm very curious to see how they book John Cena, because they've really been booking him as like he needs this victory. You know, he's been saying this, and part of me's like, yeah, he does need it, but also part of me's like, come on, man, he lost to Austin Theory, and you're gonna have him beat Solo Sikoa, you know? You feel? So what I said, I don't know if we're going into the prediction now, but I'll get into that.
Might as well.
So what I think is going to happen, I do think Cena's going to win here, but what I think is going to happen is I think Jimmy Uso is going to, by accident, help John Cena get the victory. That way they can still protect Solo Sikoa here with him taking the loss. Jimmy Uso is going to do something stupid, like maybe accidentally super kick Solo. Something like that's going to happen. Or maybe Jay Uso does a super kick. You know, he's still pissed off, so he does something. Cena's going to win because of help from the outside, either whether it's accident by Bloodline or if it's help by Jay Uso. But I think Cena gets the win. I think the crowd wants it. WWE, not always, but they tend to book the faces pretty well in Saudi Arabia, in my opinion.
Okay, so a couple of things. Do you think that if John Cena beats Solo Sikoa on this show, then he should actually get an opportunity at Roman Reigns? Because I kind of feel like he should if he beats Solo Sikoa.
I would be okay with that, but I think we all know that Cena's leaving after this show. I think he's going to be gone for a while again.
Yeah, okay. So by that logic, if he is leaving, why give him the win?
That's the thing too. I mean, that's a million-dollar question. But you can also add, that's why you could give him the win. You could add a little more fuel to the fire for the Bloodline, like Solo being pissed off at getting the loss. You can add Roman Reigns being pissed off that he didn't get the win. Just add a little bit more to the whole issues between Jimmy just being Jimmy, you know, causing problems toward the Bloodline, causing
he's
headaches.
Been so out there,
yeah.
Jimmy, he's been incredibly mellow. So I kind of get what you're saying, but I get, you know, the disruption, the further disruption into, you know, into the bloodline. I'm all for that. But if John Cena is going away after that, I don't understand him taking the loss.
I completely understand where you're coming from. That's why, in a way, it doesn't surprise me whatever happens in this match. It really won't surprise me. If Cena takes the loss, I get it. Because you can put that helps Solo too, you know, by all means. Mm-hmm. That puts Solo over. Like, hey, man, this man's beat John Cena. Because we know the Austin Theory beating John Cena did not help him at all. So
at all whatsoever.
Maybe Solo can. But
Austin Theory is no Solo Sikoa, like, whatsoever.
Correct.
So I may end up regretting this, but I will take Solo Sikoa here.
Okie dokie.
They were protecting Solo Sikoa so much, and then Cody Rhodes beat him. And then Cody lost to Roman Reigns in WrestleMania, so that loss for Solo Sikoa meant nothing. But I will pick Solo Sikoa here. I am, like, so 50-50 on this. I will pick Solo Sikoa just because word has it that John Cena is going away after that. It'll make zero sense to me if they actually do. Is this the first? Because I don't know if you noticed, Rob, but my memory sucks a lot. Has John Cena had previous Saudi Arabia matches?
I believe he was at the first one, the Greatest Royal Rumble, but I don't think he's been back. So I think this is his first time back.
If this is his first time back, I absolutely get them giving John Cena the win, because the crowd will go insane. Because yeah. Those sorts of crowds adore, you know, WWE legends or whatever you want to call John Cena.
He's been there. Okay, so he was there. According to Cage Match, he's only been there for house shows before. I thought he was at the Greatest Royal Rumble. Or no, he was. He beat Triple H at the Greatest Royal Rumble. So he was there. He beat Triple H there, but he wrestled there before. I did
not count that as a match.
They went 15 minutes. But he's wrestled there 7 times in his career, and 6 of them have been house shows. So,
I understand. No, I'm still gonna pick Solo Sikoa.
Yeah,
I'm probably wrong. I don't wish to be, because I want them to protect Solo Sikoa a lot.
Yeah. The thing is, too, is I think the big part of it is they've made it such a. They've talked about it a lot, like his losing streak, and he's lost a lot. So I think you should give it to him. But I'm a Cena guy, so.
I understand, and I became a fan of Cena when he went away, because I'm one of those dorks.
Just the way you said that, I became a fan when he went away.
Yeah, I became a fan when he went away. I was one of those doofuses that booed him all the time, but like our friend Wrestling Jeebus, like we were, you know, that stupid people who, you know, wanted him to go away, and then he went away, and no. but like, which match do you think is gonna steal the show?
You know, honestly, it would not shock me whatsoever if Rey Mysterio and Logan Paul steal the show. It would not. I could see them having a great match.
It's going to be a really great match, and I hate it because Logan Paul always has great matches, and I really don't like the guy. it really pisses me off. Do you want us to move on?
I was going to say, that's the thing, like a lot of these matches, and what's been great about WWE is they've been putting on fantastic premium live events for the most part, in my mind. I can see Seth Rollins and Drew just absolutely killing it also. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I mean, this show looks really good, in my opinion. It really does.
I mentioned this on our show last week, but I understand, you know, people not wanting to watch Saudi Arabia matches, and I absolutely get it. But lately, all Saudi Arabia pay-per-views have been killing it, like, a lot. And, of course, the show being there means that I'm able to watch it live, you know, as soon as I come home from work. Because, guys, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but, like, daylight savings already happened for us. So you're behind us right now. So it starts even earlier for me, and I have to, you know, hurry my ass home from work in order to catch it. But, yeah. So Damian Priest versus Cody Rhodes. I kind of feel like this is 100% going for Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
But I can see them doing so much crap here. And when I say crap, I mean Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, because this is a Cody Rhodes match that he's going to win, and they're going to do the Damian Priest thing where he gets screwed over again by somebody in the Judgment Day by accident, whether it's somebody handing him the briefcase too late or sliding it or throwing it. Something's going to happen. He's going to get pissed. Yeah. And it's going to add more. It's just going to add more grief for him. It's going to just add more drama to the Judgment Day. So,
of course,
but
of course, because, like, you have two big factions in WWE, and that's Judgment Day, and you have the Bloodline, and nothing's okay with it, with both of them, with either of them. So, okay, so I we're pretty sure that we have Cody Rhodes. We both have Cody Rhodes here.
Yeah.
Okay, but, like, does Damian Priest cash in tonight because both champions are on the show?
Yes. Well, I think so. I think what's going to happen is...
Okay, we're going to talk about later.
Okay, gotcha.
When we get to the match. So next up, we have the Fatal 4-Way match for the Women's World Championship. Rhea Ripley defends against Nia Jax, Raquel Rodriguez, Shayna Baszler, and Zoe Stark. I actually think that this match is going to steal the show. Because, by the way, they have two women's matches in Saudi Arabia this year.
Oh, we got another super chat when you're ready. I forgot about it.
It's fine. We have two women's matches, and yet AEW have won every Dynamite and whatever. We're not going to get into this. I'm proud they have two women's matches on the card here. Baby steps, okay? Just baby steps. I don't think that Rhea Ripley is going to lose her championship, because I'm pretty confident that they're heading into Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch for WrestleMania next year. They've been putting breadcrumbs all over. Like, Becky mentioned Rhea Ripley in her promo this Monday, and I cannot wait for this match. It's going to be so great. Yeah, Rhea Ripley, but I hope that this is that Zoe Stark gets to shine here, because I don't think she got put over enough when she was with Trish Stratus. I mean, she was on the show constantly because she was with Trish. But I don't think the people got what Zoe Stark can do in the ring. She's so good. But yeah, Rhea Ripley will win here.
Yeah, Rhea gets the victory here. This match is going to be pretty good too, I think. Anxious to see what they do. Rhea Ripley will, like I said, get the victory. I'm curious to see what they do with Nia. Zoe Stark, I hope they shine a light on her. It's going to be a solid match. So I mean, that's really all I can say. I'm glad they have a lot. I'm glad this is a big match. That means more women on the Saudi card. So that's a very good thing. So I like that idea. And I do like that they're doing this match there. So that's a good thing.
The next match is the Super Chat. Yeah.
Yep. Will Chisholm, thank you very much for the Super Chat. He says, showing love to you too. Y'all are great. By the way, F. Rick Flair. All right.
Oh, we are going to talk about this. No worries, sweetie. Okay, the next matchup we have is Rey Mysterio defending his United States Championship versus Logan Paul. I am so sorry, but I think Logan Paul is winning this match.
You know, the thing is, Logan Paul makes sense, and it makes sense from a business standpoint for many reasons. Logan Paul's going to bring that title with him wherever he goes. He's going to do it on his podcast. He's going to do it when he's promoting his drink, when he goes to his brother's boxing matches, when he's out and about. He's going to bring that title with him. It makes perfect sense for him to do it, to go this route. Plus, as I said on the prediction show, one thing is that the media will cover it, not like to a huge extent by any means, but it will be on like your Yahoo. Variety will put it out there. And somebody's going to read that and say, wow, Rey Mysterio still wrestling? So it you're going to be able to kill two birds with one stone here. I think it's a good idea to let him win the title. I think somebody is going to be turning on Rey Mysterio finally. Again, I think it's Santos Escobar. So I think there's
because like we all know that LA Knight is not beating Roman Reigns for that championship. The next thing they can have is LA Knight beating Logan Paul for that championship. I'm pretty certain that this is what they're building
correct.
Towards.
That yes. You're right. And that way they can put a title on LA Knight eventually, and that kind of slows that train down with LA Knight, where you don't have to have people clamoring for him for a main title. So I mean
even Tiffany Stratton in the chat is
hey Tiffy, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate
thank you for joining us. You're such a sweetheart for being here.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Jesus.
Yes. Yeah, so Rey Mysterio and Logan Paul, it's going to be a pretty awesome match. Again, I'm sorry for saying this, but by the way, like people keep saying that Logan Paul brings more eyes to the product. Does he really?
Social media wise, he definitely does. I mean, they've shown the numbers. Social media wise, he definitely does. YouTube numbers have shown it. And because they make money off the YouTube numbers, I get it.
I understand that. Yeah. So yeah, I pretty much think that Logan Paul is going to win here. The next match we have is Io Sky defending her women's championship against Bianca Belair. So the sad part here is that Io Sky has been champion ever since SummerSlam, right? That's when she won that championship.
Didn't she win it at Money in the Bank or no? No, it was... I can't remember.
No, she won Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I know, but I thought she cashed it in the same night, but that was Liv. Never mind. Was Liv. So
that's so because they've done nothing with her ever since she's been champion. I adore you so much. Her matches are so great. And I feel like her on the main roster, at SummerSlam. Thank you. So I don't think that we're ever going to have the NXT Io Sky on the main roster ever. I don't know if that's their trouble with booking NXT women. I don't know, but I miss Io Shirai so much now that she's Io Sky. That's fine. I feel like Bianca Belair is going to win this match and win the championship. I do think that they're building towards Bianca Belair versus Charlotte Flair for WrestleMania. Just so Bianca Belair has beaten, you know, or all, you know, four horsewomen.
Yeah. I think Io gets the win here.
I won't mind that. Just as long as they do something with her, because like the focus of EO's championship reign has been Bayley.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I adore Bayley, but shouldn't this be for the championship?
Yeah.
I don't know. And Kairi Sane coming back to WWE, you know, if they bring back, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to see what they do here. I do think EO wins. I'm curious to see what Bayley does, because we've been waiting for Bayley to turn for a while now. We've been thinking it's been going to happen for a while, and eventually it will. So, and I do think
maybe Bayley can cause her, like, by accident.
Yeah, and we'll see. I think. Do you think Kairi Sane returns at this show as a surprise?
Oh no! I don't think that she returns here.
I do. I think we see her. But I've been wrong a lot. So as I usually am when we do these prediction shows, so don't go with what
Hey, I won't mind. I wouldn't adore it if you're right here. I will not mind this.
So. All right. Well, one do we have next?
Next match we have is Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship. They're not putting the championship on Drew, as he has not signed a contract yet.
Well, the thing is, too, what I previously said is, we'll know if he leaves Saudi Arabia with that title. We know he re-signed. But
the thing is, I have been, you know, a bit tired from, you know, from Seth's reign. Which is a weird thing for me to say, because I'm a Seth Rollins girl. I adore the guy. But it has been kind of deflating lately. I don't know how to put it. But I don't know. I feel like they keep the title on him, but I will not mind if Drew McIntyre wins this championship, because Drew McIntyre, there has been no lies in everything that Drew McIntyre has said. Mm-hmm. Because like, he's being incredibly logical here, and I adore that, because I hate because like, when you're a babyface and you suddenly close your eyes for a lot of stuff, like, yeah, you're friends with all the other baby faces, even though, like, they screwed you a lot. Like, he's the only one who's like, no, I will not, you know, be friends with, you know, Jey Uso. I don't care. He's a baby face and everyone loves the guy. Like, he cost me, you know, the mm-hmm. championship. And I adore the fact that he's not the stupid baby face that all the other ones are. Like, I hate that. Bonus points for thinking for yourself, Drew. Like, I adore that. I will not mind if he takes the championship. This is the way that we're going to know that he signed, you know, a new contract with the company. I cannot wait for this match, because I love Drew and Seth, both of them, and they're going to put up a slapper here. But yep. I do think that Seth's retaining.
Yep. Okay, so do you think Damian leaves with the title?
This may happen. I don't think that Drew cashes in on Roman Reigns whatsoever. Did I say Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean Damian. I don't think that Damian cashes in on Seth Rollins, on Roman Reigns. God damn it, what's happening?
It's the microphone.
I'm just... fine, and this is the right size too.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Never. So it's
well.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I was obviously kidding. I can see Damian cashing in on Seth Rollins. I can see that, and successfully cashing in. Because that's the only way to recover from taking a loss to Cody Rhodes, I feel like. Because, like, they've been doing this to Money in the Bank winners all the time. Like, they lose a lot, but then they cash in and everything's fine.
Yeah. So, okay. So what I think happens is I don't think they're going to have, okay. So one thing I don't see happening is Drew, if Damian Priest win or does bring the title, leave Saudi Arabia with the title. One thing I do not see happening is Drew McIntyre like winning the title and then losing it right away. I don't see them doing that to that title yet.
Yeah.
But what I can see is Seth Rollins winning and then Drew just beating the hell out of Seth Rollins after the match. And then he just kind of just says, hey, here you go, Damian, get your victory. You know?
I can see that happening as well.
Yep. So I think Seth Rollins wins. I think Damian Priest cashes in. But I will say this, if Drew McIntyre leaves Saudi Arabia with that title, he has re-signed. And so
absolutely. There is no way they're going to give him a title without him signing a new contract. The thing is with Seth, you know, and his back and like all the storytelling that they've done with his back, Drew can work the back. He can, you know, scratch and claw his way to victory, Seth, I mean. And then when he's barely, you know, on his feet, Damian can cash in.
So what is the percentage that you give that title's cashed in tomorrow? If you were to put a percentage point on it.
40%.
Because I'm at 100.
40%.
Okay, so you're at 40. I'm at 100. So
okay.
That is fine.
That is fine. All right. Absolutely fine. So I think we talked about all the matches apart from the Roman Reigns match, right? Do you see, you know, did I miss anything? Okay.
I don't think so.
So probably the main event, Roman Reigns versus LA Knight. LA Knight is so not winning this match.
I mean, this is the easiest one for me to go with.
The absolute easiest one on this card. Roman Reigns is going to retain. He's going to bump like hell for LA Knight. This is... the crowd is going to go insane for LA Knight. He's so over everywhere they go. And it's just such an easy thing to chant, you know? It's such an easy one. And probably Roman Reigns. He's winning. LA Knight main eventing a premium live event is probably... It's the audience's fault. Like, that is the only way that this is happening because, like, people are so vocal about adoring LA Knight so much that they had no other choice than to give the people what they want, but not really. Yeah. Like, here's the main event with LA Knight, a championship match, you know, the biggest championship match that he's going to have. He's going to lose, but then he's going to have, you know, the United States Championship.
If they're not, if they didn't give that title to Cody at WrestleMania, they're not going to give this damn title to LA Knight at
Oh no, there is no way that's going to happen. So, no way. And if that even happens, I'm going to need every one of you to send all your prayers and love to Steven Jensen. Because he's the biggest Cody Rhodes fan and he hates LA Knight so much. And he was so heartbroken after Cody Rhodes didn't get the job done. And if they give that title to LA Knight, oh my God, I'm going to give all my money on, you know, for a super chat for the spotlight. And just, you know, here's some love, Steven. We adore you. Like, please don't have a mental breakdown.
Yeah, he'll be okay. I can tell you that because I have a better shot at winning the title next week against Seth Rollins or Damian Priest.
I know.
LA Knight.
I know.
It's just the way it is.
You know, just imagine. Imagine. I really don't want to. So this was our crown jewel predictions for tomorrow's show.
Yeah.
Do you want us to talk about something wholesome now?
Yeah, let's do it. Give me 1 second to pull that up for us. Ready?
I thought we weren't going to do that anymore. Or, you know.
I don't remember. So
you know, the video with the Nessie or like the Loch Ness Monster,
you're right. I selected the wrong one. My bad. It's my first day, so there we go.
I mean, you didn't have to do them both. Yeah. That is fine.
It's my first day.
This week, we're going to, inform you of one of the wholesomest things ever. This was something that our friend Chris Mueller sent to me in a DM. And then Rob sent it to me, and I'm like, yeah, okay, we're doing this. We're going to make this the Cooper effect. A couple from Alaska just bought a huge-ass bus and just simply decided to make it a dog bus. This is exactly what it sounds like. Like, they pick up dogs from their houses, just like school buses. And then they get on the bus, and they even have, you know, the seat belts, you know, with the collars and everything. That is so adorable. They pick up dogs so they can play with each other. You know, they babysit the dogs. They walk them. And then they just, you know, give them back to their owners after they finish. The thing is, like, we don't want to put the video on the screen, but like, the moment the dog comes on the bus and all the other dogs get so excited to see the other dog, they're just like people, just like little children. They're so excited to play with each other. I adore this so much. Like, Rob and I talked about this before the show. Best job ever. Okay. Getting to spend the day with dogs and like puppies, and they're just so excited to see each other. That is so great. I want to hug that couple so much, because doing amazing things like this to animals, just the best thing ever. Yeah. I adore this. Rob, what do you think about this?
Oh, I absolutely love this. Like I said, before we started the show and we were talking about this is the dream right here. You know, that's able to do that and drive around with dogs, pick them up, and they're excited. And then you see how excited they are to see their friends and wagging their tails.
Best thing ever.
Nothing's better than seeing a dog wag their tail, in my opinion. One of the best things, you know.
That's happiness right there. When you see a dog excited and it's wagging his tail, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, good times. So,
yes.
Yeah. And that's why we wanted to do the Cooper effect, because, you know, we'll always do the Cooper effect on animals if it's a great story. I mean, it's the way we are. It's the way we go. It's the way we roll. So, yeah. So let's go from one animal to another.
To another. Yes. Okay. First of all, AEW's big announcement this week, TK's big announcement this week was, you know, about the All-In tickets going on sale. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that is the smallest announcement that you could have announced.
Well, you know, okay, so I don't know if you saw I think it was Wednesday when they did this, In the Weeds, where Joel broke down the announcements that they do.
Okay.
So he broke it down. Like, Tony Khan has 4 different announcements. He does, like, has an announcement, which is a minor one, has a major announcement. Like, so, and then, like, exciting announcements, stuff like that. And they break it down, and and Joel, like, hit it right on the head. It wasn't going to be anything major, and he hit it right on the head. And sure enough, the problem is, the internet, shockingly, ran with it and made it a bigger deal than it was. However, that being said, you can't set expectations. The reason I say that is, last week they just kind of mentioned, like, towards the end of the show, AEW is having a new pay-per-view at the end of December called At World's End or whatever it is, just like that. That wasn't, like, in my opinion,
That was an announcement. Yeah. That was that was announcement worthy.
They could have just done the same thing with this. And
yeah.
I know that they've been hurting with ratings. I think they were going against, were they going against the World Series? I believe they were. So, I mean, their ratings were already hurting. So, in a way, I understand it. But in another way, I'm kind of like, yikes. You know, come on. You should know better. In my opinion, I think you got to be better with that. Because it's going to bite you in the end. It's just going to,
It's the boy who cried wolf at this point. Like, at some point, they're going to have a huge, huge announcement. And no one's going to be there to you know, to see it. The thing that bothered me, but and like, this is my fault, because, like, I expected something. This was... thank you, sweetie. This was exactly what I was going to mention. Because they dropped a huge women's wrestling promoting video with Doja Cat. Like, I hope Sean's happy.
Yeah, he was. Like,
yeah. So they dropped this amazing video. And I'm like, okay, now they're... And I started building this in my head. I thought they're going to make, Rampage an all-women's show. Because that's a step forward. That's, for me, this is a step forward. Because, again, you having one, you know, women's match on the card is, and it's been 4 years, okay? It's been 4 years. You've built a women's division. They're all great. Put women on your card. Put women on your show. This is ridiculous at this point. Like, on the other brand, we have two women's matches in Saudi Arabia. And there used to be a time that there were none. Okay? There were none. And, like, I'm... Like, we all want Evolution number 2, okay? Because, like, that pay-per-view in WWE was the best pay-per-view that they ever had for the year. We've been wanting Evolution 2 so much. And... Now that Triple H is kind of pulling the strings and not so much Vince McMahon, we're closer to that happening once again. But AEW has not been working. And they dropped that huge women's video. And then the announcement is, you know, has nothing to do with that. Again, this is my own fault. Because I kind of built it up in my head. So I didn't help. Didn't help at all.
Somebody that was at the show, and I can't remember their Twitter name, they said they were at the show and said, well, that announcement was like a wet fart. And my thought was to reply, well, I go, well, I was thinking, like, well, I don't know. I think the wet fart's more exciting than what that was, but
I understand. But the thing is that the announcement that we had, that we got yesterday, was actually probably the thing that they could have announced, you know, on the show and deal with everything that followed after the announcement. Which is weird, because the thing is, if they announced Ric Flair signing with AEW, which is our next topic, if they announced it on their show, they knew that people were going to tune out.
To an extent, yeah. I mean, maybe. That's the thing. Like, I don't know. I mean, I think they've lost a few viewers now. Yes. I do think they'll lose some viewers. Absolutely. Not many. I think some people are going to be like, I don't like it, but I'm still going to watch. But I do think some people will not watch. There's going to be a few that feel that way. That just the way it is.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know. I won't stop watching. I adore wrestling. But the thing is, okay. So Ric Flair signed with AEW. I do not understand, Rob. I really do not understand. Like, we already knew that we were going to get, you know, Ric Flair up until March next year, because they said so. You know, they hinted towards that he was gonna be with Sting, with him up until the end of his last match at AEW Revolution 2024. We already knew that, but now they signed him with, you know, with a deal. I understand both sides. You know, there are a lot of, you know, it's a part of whataboutism, okay? Because people who want more women's matches on the card are like, okay, so I wanted more women on my screen during AEW programming. And instead of them doing this, they're going to put Ric Flair on our screen. So that's, I understand that that side. It's definitely a problem. I definitely bitched and moaned about this when it was about Jeff Jarrett. I have not forgotten about this. But I kind of feel like we all see what's going to happen. Ric Flair is going to turn on Sting because Sting is a dumb babyface. And he somehow forgot all the 75,000 times that Ric Flair turned on the guy. I really do not understand this. For me, by far, this is the biggest issue that I'm not on board with when it comes to TK's decisions. I don't know if Ric Flair being on our television is going to make people tune into AEW more. I kind of feel like it's gonna, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I don't usually pay attention to online rage and like outrage about, you know, certain situations, but I decided to see if there's one person excited about Ric Flair being on AEW, and I found zero people. I know that there are people that are excited because I can hear all the woos in the crowd. Yeah. When I was at Wembley, everyone was wooing, and I'm like, people like Ric Flair. Like,
I think they like wooing more, but yeah, I know what you mean. But I mean, that's the thing. Like, the thing is Ric Flair is not gonna affect women having matches. That's not gonna happen, in my opinion. They're still gonna get the one match that Tony Khan's been doing. Like, unfortunately, I don't see that changing. I don't see the problem is, it's not the biggest problem is, it's not gonna have an effect on the people that are in AEW per se. I mean, it technically could,
taking,
I guess,
up screen time. That's, you know, that's the, like, how old is Ric Flair? I keep forgetting.
70. Well, he's 74, but he thought he was 76 in an interview. But
yeah, sure. Like a 75-year-old former wrestler who, I quote, looks like a melted candle. He's gonna take up screen time more than young people who should be on our television.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I mean,
he said that he wants to wrestle MJF. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, what?
Well, this is the thing. Like, Ric Flair, I don't like him. I don't like what he's done, Shocker. Obviously. I don't understand it. And I'll get to the Tony Khan comment in a minute. But I look at it, you're right. Will there be an episode where he has more screen time than most of us think he should? Yeah, there will be that episode. Do I think it'll have an effect on long-term on women's matches? I do not. I that's just me. That's just my opinion. I will it have an effect on other matches? Absolutely. But it'll have matches all together. I mean, that's how I should phrase it. Um, the biggest thing about this is it's the hypocritical aspect of everything. You know, this was something that SE Scoops posted. It was from an interview from Tony Khan. And he basically said here that great promotion. He was talking about Mid-South Wrestling at this time. Great promotion, taking the stars seriously, the fans seriously, and treating the product as a legitimate sports property, and treating wins and losses as everything. Winning should make your day, make your week, make your year. Losing should break your heart. It's not important. What are we doing this even for? So this is something he said regarding like wins and losses and stuff like that. But I tie this back to things that he said regarding, like, and I get people change, but I look at it from the perspective of even what he said 2 weeks ago, bringing up Vince McMahon, like the sex.
That is the biggest issue. That is the biggest issue for me.
I don't get it. I mean, that's very, very hypocritical. They didn't sign him originally because of it was around the time of the Dark Side of the Ring episode. They basically pulled out of that from everything that I've read.
Well, obviously, time heals all wounds, I guess.
I guess. And that's the thing, like, Maria says, where was this negative energy when The Undertaker appeared on NXT? I wasn't excited for Undertaker. I don't get excited when I see The Undertaker.
Yeah,
but he's
the thing
not...
is that Undertaker appeared only once, and that was it. But like he's not going to be there all the time. I didn't like there's a difference here. I hope that you see it. Also, the Undertaker is not a sex offender.
The other thing too is there's things that the Undertaker has said and done that I don't agree with.
Of course. Like, when men were men.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things, you know, like it's. I just don't like the hypocritical aspect. And this isn't an AEW WWE thing. This could be the same if it was Impact. You know, it wouldn't matter to me. It's the hypocritical thing. That's what bothered me. Because we already know, like, if the tables were turned, WWE would do this too. We expect it from WWE. I think the problem is we're so surprised to see Tony Khan do this. But Tony Khan, it's his business. He's going to do what he thinks right. We might not agree with it at all, but I see why so many people are hurt by it, because they weren't expecting it either, because he basically made it sound like he wasn't going to do stuff like this. That's where I think a lot of people are having problems with it. But I get where Maria says, I saw in the chat earlier, she said she's okay with Ric Flair being on her TV. That's perfectly fine.
That's fine. I hope you enjoy it. We're not the type of people who will tell you what you should be and should not be excited about. I hope you enjoy this. Like, more power to you. This is amazing for. I love that for you.
This is just our opinion. And
yeah, absolutely. Like, it should not have, you know, any effect of your viewing experience, like whatsoever. But it's like, I saw some comments online that people said that when AEW started, it looked like, God, what did they call it? I just had it in my mind.
It was
Can you just talk until I remember?
I can do that. But, well, I mean, a lot of people said it was a wrestling organization for the fans. It was, I mean, that's the way it was basically set up for. By a fan, for the fans, is how a lot of people looked at it. And, I mean, I see what Maria says here. Who cares about what people on social media are being upset? Everybody knows social media doesn't speak for everybody, which is true. I get that.
Social media isn't a real place. I absolutely agree with you here, Maria. You're absolutely right.
But the thing is, the problem here is we are a...
Alternative. Oh, fuck. Yes.
Yeah, it's an alternative. But the thing is, we're a talk show. So we talk about what people are talking about. So, but I get your point. And I understand what you're saying there.
Absolutely. Yeah, what I meant to say, the people, when AEW started, they saw it as an alternative to what they were, you know, getting mainstream-wise. It's not, now it's turning into a business. And I know that this is, you know, the natural way of, you know, of growth. I understand this, absolutely understand this, but it is absolutely not for me at all. This is not for me. I was excited about, you know, seeing new talent, new wrestlers being on the show. You building towards the next generation of wrestlers. I was so excited about that. I'm just going to wait and see, okay? But, like, this is... I'm not excited at all. But this doesn't mean whatsoever that I'm going to stop watching, like, at all.
Yeah. So... this is a thing. I mean, they're not allegations anymore. Like, I mean, he's admitted to things like...
So oh, yeah. Like he laughed about it when he talked about, you know, story time on the network.
He's talked about it. So it's not allegations.
He's talked about it. Like he said it as a fun story that happened.
So, I mean, I already told that no matter what we say, you're going to... It's okay. It's perfectly fine. And do I appreciate what Ric Flair has done in the ring? Absolutely. It is. I mean, I'll say this. If it wasn't for Hulk Hogan, do I know if I'd watch wrestling back when I was a kid? I don't think I don't know. I don't know the answer. Do I give a damn if I ever see Hulk Hogan again? Nope. It's the way it is.
Yes.
People change. I change.
Oh, everyone changes. Like,
do I appreciate what he did in the ring? Absolutely, but things change.
Well, that's the thing. I was personally never a fan of Ric Flair or Hogan. Like, I know people adore both of them, and they've done wonders for wrestling. A lot. I will never speak ill of Ric Flair's in-ring ability. The guy had awesome matches in WWF and WCW before that. I'm taking nothing away from Ric Flair in the ring. Outside of the ring, no.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
they did. They both did a lot for wrestling and wrestling as a business. But I was never that person.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on from the Flair and Tony Khan talk.
The grimness of the show.
Well, okay, I do want to add one more thing here about this. Do you think AEW needs to kind of cool it down with the announcement talks?
Oh yeah, like, absolutely. Please.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that it's I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see what I would like to know what some of the wrestlers think about. I mean, they might not care, you know, that's the thing. Like, hey, it's the boss. He does what he wants. I get that. That's fine.
And absolutely.
Like, Tony Khan's going to do what he thinks is best for his company. Perfectly fine. Just because he doesn't mean we have to agree with it. Okay. That's cool. I'm just looking at it from a perspective of what we would do or what I would do. That's what the point of this show is, just to have some fun. I just think they could do better by kind of tempering expectations, because it's like you said earlier, and like we said, one day they're going to say something, major announcement, and somebody's going to be like, no thanks.
The thing I want to see more and, you know, kind of continue with in AEW is to just build towards your future, like your future stars. I love what they've been doing with MJF. Just, you know, build the future of your company. That's all I'm asking. That's it.
So our next topic is John Cena in an interview said, when I express to the WWE that this is it, I have faith they will do what's best for business. Now, my question to you is, Maggie, do we think WWE will do what is best for business?
Well, what is best for business isn't necessarily what's best for John Cena. So, yeah. So, I don't know. I kind of feel like money talks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Cena's going to be one of those guys.
But I don't know if this will be something that will tempt John Cena.
Yeah. Well, I see John Cena being one of those guys that we'll see on, like, make an appearance on Raw once in a while, like once he's done.
Matches, I don't know.
Yeah, no, he's one of those guys I completely see saying when he's done, he's done. Like, I just, that's just how I feel. I mean, hell, I thought the same with Shawn Michaels, so I could be wrong. You know, like, I never thought Shawn Michaels would come back, and he did, so. But that was my main question, like, with that. I mean, it's not really much of a talker, because John Cena hasn't made an announcement that he's done yet. And we know time's coming. We know that.
Maybe they can get a big announcement on Raw. John Cena has an announcement for you guys.
Oh, Jesus. All right. But we move on. We'll start
Starting with a bit of talking about matches. Kenny Omega versus MJF from this past episode of Collision. Talking about building towards your next generation of wrestlers. Kenny Omega's been doing this a lot. He's been putting over young talent and talent that will be absolutely the future of the company. After MJF beat Kenny Omega, it was clean, like Don Callis did, you know, provide a distraction, but this wasn't the distraction that turned into, you know, the pinning of Kenny Omega. No, MJF just puts on bangers after bangers all the time now that he's you know, a babyface. Their talk after the show was absolutely one of the best things ever.
I'm
almost completely certain that MJF has signed a new contract with the company, because Kenny Omega putting MJF over so much in the match and after the match on the microphone. Incredibly awesome. Those two have immense chemistry with each other. I hope that we do get to see that once again. I kind of understand, you know, people being upset that this match had a 3-day build. I understand that. I completely do. But they're going to do whatever they can to boost those ratings. And it did make sense in terms of Kenny Omega defending his streak. Against MJF. So again, I see both sides. Of course, I would have preferred if this had a proper build, because, you know, the build in BTE doesn't, you know, that does not count as a build, even if I do watch every week. But the match itself, oh my God, so good. The one thing that I've been enjoying incredibly from MJF's babyface run is the fact that he's actually wrestling all the time now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And a match against Kenny Omega, if you don't have a brilliant match against Kenny Omega, the problem is with you. This is the same thing we say about AJ Styles. This is, you know, the weekly I miss AJ Styles talk.
Hopefully we'll see him back next week.
Hopefully. But we did get to see Alpha Academy versus the Creed Brothers on Raw this week. I was so excited about that, because I have been on the Creed Brothers bandwagon ever since they debuted on NXT as a part of the Diamond Mine. Adam! So, the thing I adored most here was Ivy Nile being so incredibly happy outside, because I adore Ivy Nile so much. I hate the fact that she still hasn't been anywhere near a title in NXT. That's a robbery right here, Robert.
Oh, I'm in trouble when you say Robert. So
No, you're not in trouble. I'm just pissed off. Ivy Nile is so incredible. Like
she's awesome.
She's awesome. That like the one time they get it right, she is a pit bull. She is a pit bull. And why have like they've been putting her on screen on Level Up a lot, but like that doesn't count for me. It really doesn't count for me. It's like putting over people on Dark in Dark Elevation. That doesn't count.
Wow, look at you! It really does not count. Look at you call Ryan out on that one. Wow.
Yeah, but like there is no Dark in Dark Elevation. Ryan, I love you, sweetie, no, but you don't. You have nothing to watch now. Suck it. So like that's. So this was an amazing, amazing match to watch. Julius Creed, I'm going to have to see a match between him and Brock Lesnar. Book it right now. I don't care when. I hope that he gets to be a part of the Royal Rumble and Brock Lesnar's in there and they had a stare off and the crowd goes wild
kinda
and
like,
I shit my pants.
Oh, well, okay. But you could maybe try to avoid that. But if that's...
I don't care.
Well, that's fine.
Julius Creed and Brock Lesnar, I would never mind that.
Okay. Well, that would kind of give us that Keith Lee, Brock Lesnar feel from Brock Royal Lesner, Rumble a few years ago. So
absolutely.
That would be good. That'd be sweet. But yeah, it was good. And like I didn't say anything, but the Omega MJF match was fantastic. I loved every minute of that. But this match was good. I was happy to see my guys Alpha Academy and the Creed brothers go. That was good.
That was the most brilliant way, by the way, to introduce the Creed brothers to the main roster by them having a match against Alpha Academy. I would have thought of no better way, like whatsoever. Like all the bonus points for to WWE for doing that. That was so incredibly awesome. I love that.
Ryan's watching. He's heartbroken. Hey, we still love you no matter what happens.
I still love you. I still haven't gotten my Christmas package and I have no idea what you sent me. But like that's...
We still love you. It's just...
I know. We do. So we adore you, Ryan.
Yeah, that was great. And then we had DIY return. We got to see them have their first match against Imperium in years. What was it? 3 years? 2 years?
They had all the slappers against Imperium. This was in nowhere, anywhere near their matches at NXT, but it was still a pretty good match. I adore Tommaso Ciampa. I just want to erase all the memory I have with him and Miz. See, I don't remember awesome matches happening like at all, but I do remember Tommaso Ciampa and Miz. Word has it that Miz will turn babyface soon.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the word.
That's the word. And him being a part of, backing up DIY.
From what I'm gathering, this is just my hunch on Miz being a face. It's I think USA wants him to be a face because they want to see how like his reality show does with him being a face.
I'm not kidding.
I think that's why they're doing it. That's my theory.
Okay, like, I will not mind like whatsoever, but like they will have a match between Miz and Gunther at one point.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the Miz will get his chest caved in, but the good thing is he gets to go home to Maurice and in the end he wins. So
yeah. I thought you were going to go in a totally different direction. I'm proud of you for not doing that.
Thought about it.
But... just move on. So we did have Natalya versus Chelsea Green. That was so great.
And you know how much I love Bret Hart. So I looked at things Green, a little bit different for a few minutes, but
pulled this off immensely. She was so great. Natalya's been doing a pretty good job putting over the next generation of women's wrestlers. And I know that they appreciate this so much. A lot.
Natalya is going to have a job with WWE for life. She is going to be
forever.
She is going to be the next, in my opinion, she's going to be the head trainer of that WWE for.
I hope she is.
For the women, in my opinion.
Future. I hope that she is, because she is one of the best in-ring generals that women's division has. And I also will forever have a soft spot for her because we share a birthday. So there.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's awesome. I adore Natalya. And Piper with her anvil look was just fantastic. And
absolutely fantastic.
I love that.
I
can't believe she was able to. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
They both pulled the costumes off immensely.
I'm surprised that Natalya was able to like keep it together, because I know she had to love it, you know.
I know.
And hey, Natalya looked in the bunny outfit. Rob Wilkins approved.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that
don't
was
get
that.
Your pennies in a bunch.
Okay. Yeah. No, I don't. Not. Never mind.
We did Rollins also get a Rollins versus JD McDonagh, and this is again me telling you that Jordan Devlin is an amazing in-ring competitor, all other things aside.
Yeah, it was a good match. I enjoyed it.
NXT, both episodes of Halloween Havoc have slapped so hard, Rob. I've been, and this is a shout out to our friend Throwback. I've been enjoying NXT immensely lately, and I've loved this so much, because that old NXT, we all know that we will never get this back, but that new version of, like, NXT doesn't have to be black and gold NXT. Okay. We're not like, shows must evolve with the new wrestlers that they have. Because that old generation of wrestlers, that's not the new generation of wrestlers. We have Dragunov versus Carmelo Hayes, which was so fucking good. Oh my God, this was so, so amazingly awesome. We had the women's breakout tournament final, Kalani Jordan versus Lola Vice. I got surprised here because I thought that they were going to give Kalani the win here, because she's already my favorite women's wrestler of the new generation that they have at NXT.
Sure.
She's so incredibly fluent with absolutely everything.
Yeah, she's
but
great.
Lola Vice winning, I suppose that this is the best that they could have done, because...
Look, I'll tell you what happened here. C-Hawk called in a favor. Cameron Hawkins.
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure. Yeah, like
that's exactly what happened. I can tell you right now.
Exactly what happened. Kalani not winning will not, you know, get in the way of her getting over. They're giving Lola Vice the opportunity to shine is the best way to have your cake and eat it too. And that is the perfect way of me saying it, because I want this cake.
Alrighty. Well,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, okie dokie, hard to jokey. The Creed brothers versus Angel and Humberto. My God, when
Angel Garza and Humberto, I hope that people understand just how gifted they are. Like, people forgot that first episode of NXT when they were going head to head with Dynamite. That first episode. Do you remember what the opening match was?
No.
It was Angel Garza versus
Bronson Reed. No.
No.
Sounds like you don't know either.
Leo Rush.
Oh, okay.
For the WWE Cruiserweights Championship.
That's hot.
That was one of the best matches on NXT television I have ever seen. Oh my God. Like, if someone for whatever reason has forgotten about this match, please go out of your way and go back and watch the match. Such a brilliant match. So people keep forgetting just how good Angel Garza is, and I hate that.
Oh, him and Humberto are so good. Like, people just
such an amazing tag team. I hope that they're future tag team champions.
Yeah.
I don't care. Okay, like put some gold on these people. That is so incredibly good. Absolutely loved it.
And Julius with his back hitting that ladder. Holy crap. Ugh. Like scraped his back. When I saw that, I was like, yeah, that sucks ass.
Yeah. I'm a bit concerned about their finisher. Like the way things are going, someone will get hurt doing that finisher because that cannonball, he's landing right on top of someone of either Julius or the opponent. Okay. Like he already hurt his leg while doing the cannonball because yeah. Like that's a tough one. Going back to Dynamite, Orange Cassidy and Claudio Castagnoli. Claudio Castagnoli is a freaking machine. Okay. Like that is an animal of a human being that you have like that. I think it was from the main event with Orange Cassidy and Okada versus Brian and Castagnoli.
Yeah.
That fluid transition with the swing. Oh, gee, like, how is this not the best wrestler ever?
Yeah. Oh, he's good. Damn good. Amazing. I mean, that's really all you can say.
Like, him tapping out Chris Jericho with the swing was... I could not believe that the entire internet was pissed off about this.
Yeah, who knows?
I'm not surprised, but I'm still, like, how can you? Wardlow choked out
MJF. And you know what? You might not believe this, but I was actually able to obtain footage of your reaction. There you go.
Tell me, like, zero lies detected.
Yeah, zero lies detected.
Zero lies detected. Where's the lie, Rob? There is.
If anybody
zero
that like here. Listens to the podcast are going to be like, we didn't hear anything. That's because you're going to have to watch a YouTube video to see what that.
Yeah,
was
then there was a hose. like the moment I saw Wardlow choking MJF, and I'm like, okay, someone's going to have something to say about this on Twitter. Then I watched the show and then I went on Twitter and I'm like, yeah, I'm so proud of my friends. I'm so proud of
I got on there and friends. I photoshopped your face on there. I'm like, yep, she'll be okay with this one. Yeah.
I'm absolutely okay with this. And the thing is, because last week on our show, I was like, Wardlow, sweetie, like he's on the show. Just go out and beat his ass. And then he did. Which
he watches
means that
the show.
Wardlow watches Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. Thank you, sweetie.
His brother does too.
Yeah, Roblo. Like yeah. He's probably the one who made him watch the show, and now he never misses an episode of our show.
Good friend of the show.
Yeah, good friend of the show. Hi, Wardlo, sweetie. I'm so. I hope that you.
We hope you're doing well. We hope you are doing well.
I will not say this on live air. Yes. whatsoever. Edge was on the show. He cut a promo. I will not face you, the Christian. Oh, psych, now I will. Because, like, do you know what this reminded me of? This reminded me of John Cena saying no to Bray Wyatt when Bray wanted a match against him. And then 20 seconds later, yeah, okay, we're having a match.
I'm like, in.
Have some spine.
Yeah.
You like Jesus.
You know, the one thing I did not like about this, and people that know the gimmick know it's okay. They know it's a gimmick. I did not like Adam Copeland putting over Tony Schiavone.
I know. I understand. You're pissed like off at Tony Schiavone. I understand that. But you have.
Mm-mm.
Just know this. Just have has to make you love Wardlow even more because Wardlow shoved the guy.
Oh yeah, I'm a big fan of that. That was like the best thing. Even I was like, even I was excited like for a minute. I'm like, hey, I don't go that way, but I might consider it if you do that again. I'm just saying. I don't know. People know it's a gimmick, but some of them have no idea what's going on here. But that's usually our show. So yeah, it was. I liked it. I knew you would like it. Obviously, if Wardlow just shows up on your screen, you're going to be a happy.
They didn't even show his face. They show his muscle.
Yeah. We had Sheeta.
His back and his shoulders. You know, Wardlow, because you watched the show, I give excellent massages, by the way.
Okie dokie.
I mean, please.
Anyways, Hikaru Shida.
You succeed in zero stuff that you don't, you know.
Yeah, you miss all the shots you don't take.
Yeah, so like that's me taking the shot.
There you go. Yeah, live it up.
Yeah, so Shida versus Willow Nightingale. The shenanigans, okay? Like because the match didn't matter. What mattered was the post match.
Yeah, stuff. Julia Hart.
Julia Hart got misted in her neck.
I've seen videos that end that way, but anyways. What, too soon?
So that was nowhere near her face.
Well, I've never mind. You know.
Okay, like let's. This is the rated R show, right?
Well, yeah, you noticed? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I haven't gotten a message in a long time from somebody saying I had my kid listening to the show. Like, I'm like, well,
they know better.
Yeah, they
do
now.
That's why we don't have the views that we used to. That's absolutely fine. Yeah, so the post match. So Sky Blue is in Dark Side because she, you know, she tried to miss Julia Hart, okay? Like she tried with the blue mist. I'm so glad it was blue mist. Yeah. I'm gonna see where this goes because she still has the dark, you know, eyes and everything. But Willow used to have one dark eye and now she doesn't at all.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was good. I was surprised.
Yeah, and Sheeta gives zero fucks about Toni Storm. Like, she attacked her ass. I enjoy this. It was good. It was. But we did have the main event. It was the 8-man tag team between Bullet Club Gold and MJF with the Acclaimed.
I know some people weren't happy with this. And again, it's one of those things. They didn't like it being the Acclaim. They were hoping that it was like they were wanting a different surprise. I think it was obviously from the get-go it was going to be the Acclaimed. I mean, I could see
it was maybe also always going to be the Acclaimed. What was the surprise that everyone was hoping for?
I think just because they advertised it as a surprise. Like I don't understand it, but it is.
No, it was always going to be the Acclaimed. But I think
the biggest shocker was MJF getting pinned was what shocked me the most.
Yeah, this is this was absolutely shocking to me. Absolutely shocking. This was weird because like Jay White still has the belt, so there was no way Kenny Omega was gonna win that match on Collision because what are you gonna get gifted? Like you don't. Yeah. And also, what is Tony Khan? Have so many announcements on the show, but he doesn't give a crap that the championship isn't with the champion. Yeah. Like, what does he put his foot down in kayfabe? Please explain this to me. Like, you're on the show.
I can't.
Obviously.
I don't get it either. I mean,
that is incredibly weird.
You want to have your title shown? I thought, wouldn't you want your title shown on TV? That's my
opinion. You have that brilliant main event on Collision. Why not have the title there? Like, I know it's a part of the storyline, but that is just incredibly, incredibly weird to me.
Yep.
MJF getting pinned, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That is a big deal. I don't remember the last time MJF was pinned on Dynamite, but as you all know, I'm incredibly crappy when it comes to my memory. MJF doing the scissor stuff at the end of the match was okay. So, hey, I got pinned for the first time in quite a while, probably ever. I don't remember. I still don't have my belt, but hey, let's scissor. I get this. Do you know what vibes I got from this? Drew McIntyre saying bye-bye, Miss American Pie, after he lost that. This is exactly what I remember. I didn't like that, but like, I have faith in everything that they're doing with MJF. Adam Cole said, "Shut up, Roderick Strong," on a stream together. Like that's fine. I also we didn't get to talk at all about Matt Jackson losing his shit after they lost their trios championships against the Embassy. That is the right move because ever since they won those trios championships, they haven't been on Ring of Honor television. I haven't watched Ring of Honor in a month, and I still know that they haven't been on Ring of Honor television. And they were pretty pissed off that Jericho was backstage with Omega. And I kind of see that point. They were like, what was the point of getting the Elite back if we never have our back with each other? And like, why don't they... And like, if we do... get those words from Matt Jackson to heart. On the other hand, why does Matt Jackson not worry about his best friend and his house getting broken into?
I don't get it either.
Listen to your own advice, Matt. I adore you, Matt Jackson. Like, I adore your tag team and I adore tag team wrestling. But like, if you're gonna, you know, talk about never having the other person's back, why not talk about, you know, Hangman?
Yeah, I get it. I know. And Soupy brought up a good point, too. The Jeff Jarrett tag team tease was pretty good, too. Like,
I lost my mind. I was like, I know. Please, no, God, no. Yeah. No. Please, yeah. Never.
Well, before we do our outro, I want to address something. So the past week, I don't know if you've seen it like on Twitter and X, but a lot of people, a lot of writers, a lot of social media, podcasters, stuff like that, women haven't been treated really well at all. Disrespected, not getting paid for their work, not being credited for their work. People putting other names under their work. It's 2023. People need to be treated equally. It's not hard. There's no reason. I don't know what pay is like other places, but if somebody was getting paid, to give you an example, if I was getting paid more to do the show than you were, I wouldn't. No way in hell would I accept that. That shouldn't be the case anywhere. In my opinion, but that's a different story. My thing is wrestling media. People deserve the chance, the opportunity. If they work for it and they deserve it, they should get that opportunity. They shouldn't get it if they're friends with this person, in my opinion. I mean, it varies, you know, like I think everybody, I think we just need to be treating people better and equally. And the fact that some women have to work three times harder to get to the places where like I am is unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
It just is. And I don't like it. And I've seen a lot of people say that we need to listen to others better. in my opinion. We need to hear what they're saying. And I've been reading comments. I've been reading what people are saying. And I know I want to be better, and I don't want to put things on the back burner or just like, it doesn't affect me. I want to know what I can do to be better for my colleagues. Even if I don't know them, I want to know what I can do to be better. So one thing that Maggie and I spoke about is when we bring back Coexisting After Dark, we are going to focus on equality. We're gonna promote people that should be promoted and talked about.
People who are doing the work.
Yeah.
And putting in a lot of, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into their work, and just, you know, put them over because, like, they deserve to.
Yeah. So if there's somebody out there that you know of that deserves some recognition and you want to see their story on Coexisting After Dark, let us know. I prefer it to be somebody that hasn't been on the show before, because we want to try to get as many people as we can. And I think it's the right thing to do, because I said it the other day in a tweet, I don't want good people leaving wrestling media. I don't want that, because I want good people part of this business, like the wrestling media, because the better the voices are out there, the better it is for everyone out there. It might actually make people, social media is a mess, but the thing is if we can make things a little bit better for some people, let's do it. I think that's all we want. We want to try to make things better. And I don't want people having to work twice as hard or three times as harder than others. I mean, I know that it comes down to, like, some places get more traffic and stuff like that. And by all means, if you are a writer, if you are a podcaster, tag me in your tweets. I'll retweet it. I will. Just tag me. I'll do it. If I see it, I'll do it. I'll promote you. Even if I don't know you, as long as you're a good person and a prick, No, if you're not a prick, I will promote you. I will, because I want the best for this industry, this wrestling media. As long as it's good stuff and not hateful or just basically, if it's good, I'll promote it. You know what I mean? If it's like, if somebody's being a prick, if somebody's treating others awful, I won't do it. We just need to be better. And that's basically what I'm saying. So I want to promote others. Maggie wants to promote others. So we want to do our absolute best to let people know that there's good people out there that are doing this stuff, but people don't know about them. So I don't care if they have a website that gets 3 viewers a month, or if they have a YouTube channel that has 5 viewers a week. If you think they're good enough, send it to us. We'll consider it. And that's the honest truth, because I want good people in this industry.
And right out of the gate, the two most wholesome writers that you need and should be reading are Molly Bell and Corey Michaels. Those are the two that you absolutely need to be following, and you need to absolutely read their work, because they're both writing with their hearts.
There's so many people that, like, I could mention, that we could both mention that do outstanding work and put others first, like Astrid. She's another great person.
Astrid's such an amazing human being.
Yeah, there's just so many people out there, and we want to promote others. So people that, and even if you've been on our show, I'm not saying if you're good, I'm going to promote your work. Like, even if you've been on my show, but what I'm talking about for Coexisting After Dark, I want it to be people that have not been on our show. Because we want to promote we want to be the best that we can for others and try to make this a little bit better than we left it. And that's really the easiest thing I can say. So with that in mind, Maggie, tell everyone where they can find you.
Let me plug my shit. You can follow me on X or Twitter or whatever at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. Thank you, Rob. Where can everyone find you?
You can find me at Rob Wilkins on Twitter or X. Otherwise, I'm on Instagram at Fightful Rob. I'm also on Threads at Fightful Rob. So with that said, we hope that if you do watch Crown Jewel, we hope you enjoy it. Otherwise, we hope you have a great rest of your weekend. And we will see you next week, same time, 3 o'clock Eastern, Friday, for Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. We hope you have a great day, great night, great weekend. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.